Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Acclaimed author Tracy Emmerich is back with us on the program to discuss his groundbreaking new series of motivational books that bridge the gap between everyday life and spiritual insight. His latest works, Extreme Entrepreneurs, Steve Jobs, and Jesus Christ. Constant Courage, Martin Luther King and Jesus Christ. Nifty Neighbors, Mr. Rogers and Jesus Christ. And The Consummate Coaches, Bill Belichick and Jesus Christ. Now, all delve into how prominent figures in various fields mirror the qualities and actions of Jesus, demonstrating divine attributes through their remarkable achievements, providing timeless lessons. Tracy is a very busy retired individual, authored two marketing books, operated a direct marketing agency for 20 years, spent 10 years in marketing and business development consulting. He has served one decade as a state representative, two decades on the town's planning board, moderator of his church for almost four decades, taught at several universities at the graduate level, his education, a BA in philosophy, a master's in business administration, and a PhD in business administration. A pleasure to welcome back to the program author Tracy Emmerich to talk about his new book series. Dr. Emmerich, welcome back to the program. A pleasure to have you back with us.
Thank you, Rick. Nice to be with you.
I love what you're doing with these four books. They are so insightful. We learn something in reading each one of these, very valuable lessons that we can apply to our lives. Let's talk about the concept, the motivation in writing this series of books. Why did you feel this was needed?
Well, I'm of the opinion that Christianity has kind of failed in the communication side. We've kind of turned into, and I'm a Christian, but basically we've kind of turned into, there's a building over there called a church, and that's where you go get that stuff.
Yes.
You got to go over there. It's not, my belief is it's within you. God is within you. You don't have to go over there to find you. You just have to look at yourself and ask for it. And you will have a better understanding. So what I did with my books is I tried to humanize Jesus using recognized people from day-to-day life, but also people that have demonstrated courage, entrepreneurship, nifty neighbor, like Mr. Rogers, the courage of Martin Luther King. You know, so I have an individual who I understand, and then I interweave Jesus Christ and how they're similar and how they're different. You know, for example, Steve Jobs and Jesus Christ really have very little in common as far as spirituality goes, but they have a lot in common in changing the world. So that's, you know, that's the essence of that particular book, is what did each one of them do to put, as Steve Jobs said, a dent in the universe? You know, both did. I mean, they're, Jesus started with 12 that became 11, and now there's 1.2 billion followers. So he did something right, and he certainly changed humankind. And so that's what I try to express, but I also try to show that Jesus was a nice guy. You know, everybody yes. looks, and they all have this impression of hanging on the cross and all that, and God's, you know, thunder and lightning and all that. Jesus was really a nice guy because he talked with people, he loved children. And I had actually one woman contact me, and she said, "You changed my perception of Jesus because reading your book, I now look at him as somebody I'd like to talk to." And I said, "Success! Yay, it worked!"
Well, it is success. And as you're talking about that, I can think of sometimes maybe we have a problem in breaking Jesus down, as you have done in this book. It's just a really nice guy. And when you think about it, I would follow him. If he lived now, he would have followers. He's just a likable guy. That has to be very rewarding when you hear that concept that, you know, you've given me a whole new perspective in a positive way of Jesus Christ and his teachings.
Right. Well, and we could still learn from him. I mean, he's still present, and that's part of the subtlety, you know, of the message. So hopefully people understand that, because I talk in the first book, and I reflect on the others, is about your soul and how your soul communicates with other souls. And then, you know, your brain is the theater of your soul. So your brain lets you know, hey, I like that person, or I like that organization, or I like this or that. But your soul's talking to you, but we don't listen. So part of the subtext of these books is to listen to yourself. And the reason they're motivational is in the sense that if you're going to change your life, you have to change yourself. Because if you do the same things you've always done, your day-to-day is never going to change. And most people think about that as changing their job. They're going to change what they do. It's not what you do. It's who you are. You know, it's your attitudes. It's your humor. You know, it's your sensitivities. It's your awareness. You know, and so those are the kind of things that we have to work on if we're really going to change the way we live or the way we interact with other people.
You do that so well that all four of the books are Extreme Entrepreneur, Steve Jobs and Jesus Christ, Consummate Coaches, Bill Belichick and Jesus Christ, Constant Courage, Martin Luther King and Jesus Christ, and Nifty Neighbors, Mr. Rogers and Jesus Christ. All of the books are available wherever books are sold. Dr. Emmerich's website is authortracyemmerich.com. The books are available, as I say, wherever books are sold. Links on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We'll go back and touch on a second for Extreme Entrepreneurs and move on to talk about some of the other books. First of all, what are Extreme Entrepreneurs? That's an interesting title.
Well, I got the message about Jesus being an entrepreneur. And then I looked at what is the requirement of being an entrepreneur, risk-taking, and all those kinds of things. But then I thought about the extreme. Who really has made a big difference? And, well, obviously Jesus did, and I happen to be an Apple products user, so Steve Jobs did. Walt Disney did. And so you start looking at these people that were extremely stubborn in their beliefs. That's where their courage comes from. Is, you know, Walt Disney was very stubborn in his control of the growth of his entertainment empire. And as Steve Jobs was, I mean, he only had people working with him that understood or bought into his vision. Because there's trouble with extreme entrepreneurs is they have a tough time explaining what they're entrepreneuring. So they have to, you know, some of it's through demonstrations, some of it's through explanation, some of it's through, you know, sheer will of force, or force of will, I should say. And that's why they're extreme. They have a vision that they can't really explain to people. You know, it's like trying to explain to somebody what does chocolate taste like.
Yes.
You know, you can't do it. And those extreme entrepreneurs have to go through a lot more work and effort get people on board. And then once they get on board, they go, oh, I get it. And so it's almost like enlightenment.
Well, yes.
But the extreme, you know, as I said, they all have constant courage because everybody told them, as every entrepreneur, anybody that's tried to be an entrepreneur knows, everyone's going to tell you it's not going to work. You know, you're sick with your job. You're never going to make it. You're going to fail. That's the problem. If you've got to have the courage of your convictions to push through. Extreme people really have to get a population on board in order to make things work.
There's so many themes that you talk about that we can think through and apply to our lives. The one book, Extreme Entrepreneurs, talking about Steve Jobs and Jesus. You touch on constant courage, Martin Luther King you chose for this, and Jesus Christ. Talk about choosing Martin Luther King and the impact he had and the courage he showed in so many ways through his life.
Well, interestingly for me, I grew up during Martin Luther King era.
Yes.
So I saw him on television, and I saw him, you know, leading marches and stuff. And I saw the attitude of the news media about him. He wasn't liked. He was even feared. And so there was a lot of effort to try to suppress him. And he was unsuppressible because the one thing he was a master of the media. He knew how to pull media's chain to get the best coverage on everything he did. So he had the fortitude, and he also had the message, and he stuck with it. And the one thing he did do, another constant that he had, was nonviolence. I mean, anybody yes. in his organization that did anything violent, boom, they're gone. And he told them up front, you exhibit violence, you can't be with me anymore. And he followed through. So, you know, nonviolence, I mean, he followed other people who, one, struggled and won through nonviolence. And so his courage, he had the courage of Jesus, because they both ended up being murdered. So, I mean, yes. As far as the life path goes, that's the closest parallel that I drew, was the Martin Luther King and Jesus Christ both had tragic endings.
They shared
and both died because of their convictions.
Well, they shared courage traits as well. You talk about that courage to love all people, even enemies. They both were examples of that. Yet for many of us, that's hard to duplicate in our lives, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, you're supposed to love God and love your neighbor as yourself.
Yes.
And when it's your neighbor, and I cover that in Nifty Neighbors, it means all your neighbors. It doesn't mean just the ones you like. It particularly means the ones you don't care for.
Yes.
And that's certainly the hard part, you know, because I don't want to be around them. Well, Jesus said you treat all people equally, and so you've got to be around them, you've got to love them. And so that's the big pill, the big tough pill to swallow, is if you're going to believe it for a little bit, you got to believe it for the whole nine yards.
Tracy Emmerich is our guest on the program. That's E-M-E-R-I-C-K. The website is authortracyemmerich.com. Books available, four in the series, wherever books are sold. And, of course, on his website, a new website he has, The Leadership Frontier. We'll talk about that as we go through our conversation today. Just wrapping up this, the courage. So impressive. You've got a chapter in that book, Maintaining Courage Even in the Face of Long-Term Struggle. Talk about that for a second,
right?
Because that's something so many of us fail at. Once it becomes difficult, we sort of become less courageous.
Well, that it's easy to be courageous in the short term.
Yes.
I mean, one day, not a problem. I can be very courageous this afternoon. What's tough is to get up tomorrow and be courageous again. Because we have a tendency to avoid things that are tough. You know, I know the right thing to do, but it's too hard.
Yes.
So that's why courage kind of goes on the shelf in day two. So, I mean, the hard part is really having the conviction of your beliefs and your attitudes to every day get up and say, I've got the courage to do it again today, and I may get knocked down again today, but I'm going to get up and do it again. That's the difficult part. And that's really the internal part that you have to have. I mean, nobody's going to ring your alarm clock and say, okay, Tracy, it's time to get up and have your courage today.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. We're talking about Constant Courage, one of four books in Tracy's series. You have a quote in there from Sun Tzu, and I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Losing battles is rooted in failure to know oneself. This goes back to what you were talking before. Knowing oneself takes courage. Talk about that briefly, because that's such a key quote that you have in the book.
Well, if you don't understand yourself, and you get into situations, you've got no foundation. So you have to go into battle, as Sun Tzu said. To go into battle, you have to understand yourself, because everything goes wrong. And so if you don't have the foundation of yourself, nothing gets better. It just goes downhill from there. So, you know, you have to have those confidences in your beliefs, your values, and your struggles in order to succeed. Nobody out there is going to succeed for you. It's your responsibility, and that's tough. I'd like somebody else to do the magic for me.
Yes. Yeah.
Doesn't happen very often.
Well, again, you give us this inspiration, this motivation with the examples, the themes you use in all four of the books in the series. You touched on Nifty Neighbors, Mr. Rogers, and Jesus Christ. Talk about being a good neighbor, and you touched on that. A good neighbor means what? Being a good neighbor to everybody, not just people that you want to be a good neighbor to and you want them to reciprocate, but everybody in your neighborhood, whether it's in your personal life or your professional life.
Right, and the stories Jesus tells of the Good Samaritan, the Samaritans and the Jewish people were not friendly with each other. And the Samaritan was helping a Jewish gentleman. And so, I mean, Jesus had that story in order to say, here we have a Samaritan and a Jew, and one is helping the other and taking care of them for the long term and making sure they're okay. That's a different teaching. You know, even when he went to the woman at the well, she was a Samaritan. And he had a good conversation with her. I mean, forget the fact he wasn't supposed to be talking to a Samaritan or a woman alone at the well. All of those things were violations of the times. The fact that he had the friendship in his heart to help her, to be with her, and to understand her issues, that's the message. And most people look at that and say it's about the well. No, it's about the relationship. So...
Well, I love
Jesus
that.
He was an example. I mean, if just follow his example.
It's pretty simple, isn't it? When you break it down, and you do so well in all four of the books: Extreme Entrepreneurs, Consummate Coaches, Constant Courage, and Nifty Neighbors. We're talking a few seconds here while we have the time about Nifty Neighbors. It seems like it's so difficult now. People are divided, and you don't live in necessarily a neighborhood with all like-minded people. How difficult is that to put all the differences we have aside, still understand people, love them, and understand them?
Well, I'll give you my example is having spent 10 years in the state legislature.
I was going to ask about
you know,
that.
I'm one political party, the other side, another political party. And on the House floor, everything's a debate, you know, this one against that one on whatever the issue is. But then you go to lunch and you sit down with the people from the other party and, you break bread together.
Yes.
And you joke, you know, and you have a good life. And then you say, okay, let's get back at it. Lunch is over. Then you go up and you argue on the floor again. So I think we've become to the point in our society today that being of different ilks means bad, means evil, means
yes.
Enemy. It doesn't mean that at all. It means there's another person has a different opinion than you. I mean, you don't have to agree with everybody's opinion, but you don't have to hate them because they have a different opinion. And I think that's one reason I didn't run again, and I feel pretty good about it, because that was the toughest part, is that people treated you differently. You know, like you had, you know, like I don't know, you were I can't even think, what was it, leprosy? Like you have leprosy?
Yes.
You know, and it's not the case. They have they're a grandfather, a grandmother, a husband, a wife, just like me, and we all share the same basic survival instincts and love of humanity. But we've gotten tarnished by media intrusion and redefining who we are and putting us in little categories, and that's unfortunate. Because Jesus was never an example of being categorized.
No, you bring that out so well in the books. I mean, you really bring into focus the life of Christ and what he did. And just a final thought, I don't want to necessarily jump on media with all of the problems, the divisiveness that we've had, but it seems that you've got various media platforms that are built on stirring the controversy, creating the controversy. We can't wait to listen or watch the next day to hear what we want to hear from them. What kind of role has that played, and how do we deal with that? I guess we turn off the TV and the radio.
Well, I think that's one approach. Another approach is spend more time with just people.
Yes.
You know, you don't have to worry about what their political interests are or anything else. I mean, in my church, I don't know what political bent everybody has. I mean, but we have a common goal of maintaining the church and bringing Jesus Christ to people. And, you know, we all do it, but I don't say, gee, are you a Democrat or are you a Republican? What difference does that make to Jesus? You know?
Yes.
So you have to go to places that don't have that discrimination.
I think back in relationships, friendships I've had over the years, and rarely did we ever talk politics. And if we did, it was sort of with a light approach. It wasn't, I mean, now you start talking to somebody, the first thing they're talking about is a political problem. And what do you think of this? And it becomes a heated conversation. So I'm sort of long for the old days, and they're long gone, where you could be friends with people and not established on your particular political beliefs. The series is so well done. I've got a few minutes left here to talk about what your future is. I talk about your website, The Leadership Frontier. Tell me a little bit about that, and are you working on another book? I love the concept of your books.
Well, it's kind of interesting. I've had several people who have encouraged me to write another book with a woman.
Interesting.
And Jesus Christ. And so it's like, well, you know, I never paid attention to the fact that all four of them are men. But maybe that's part of my prejudice. I don't know. But I said, well, let me think about that. The trouble is, though, you know, I'm still trying to get the word out on these four. And if I start another one, then I'm going to dilute what I'm doing with these to try to do that.
Yes.
So I'm kind of saying, well, let me just stick with these four for now. And I've also had an inquiry about writing, rewriting these for children.
I like
because
that.
The target market for these is people in their 40s and 50s. And so, you know, the request to do it for children, the trouble is I don't know how to do that.
You know? Okay, yes.
My education didn't take me to writing children's books, so I just don't know how to do it. So I would probably have to engage, you know, editors that know how to convert, you know, what I've written into more palatable for, you know, 8 to 12 year olds or whatever. So, but who knows? Maybe that's the legacy of the next generation of these books. I don't know.
Just to pick up with that, well, you've laid the foundation for that. And you were mentioning, we were talking one time, that the four books, the key characters, The Wizard of Oz, talk about that as we conclude the program today. I love that.
Well, that kind of came to me as I was looking at these characters. I had gone online to look up something about the Wizard of Oz. I don't remember what it was. And I happened to notice that their key characters of the Wizard of Oz were the Tin Man, the Lion, and the Scarecrow. And I thought, wow, look at that. Nifty Neighbors is the Tin Man looking for a heart. And Constant Courage is the Lion looking for courage. And then the Scarecrow is looking for a brain. That's my Steve Jobs Extreme Entrepreneurs. And I thought, well, who's the coach on The Wizard of Oz? And the coach on The Wizard of Oz is Glinda, the good witch.
Yes.
And because the good witch was the one that told Dorothy about the yellow brick road. Remember at the beginning, she says, follow the yellow brick road, and they kind of spiral out. And at the end, she's the one that told her about the ruby slippers. So I got the coach, and I got the Lion and the Scarecrow and the Tin Man. I've rewritten the story of The Wizard of Oz. Surreptitiously, totally accidental.
It's such an enlightening series. Each book gives you a different approach. There's something you will learn. There are themes that we all can learn of. A common theme with all is Jesus Christ. You mentioned that in the beginning, that some reader pointed out that you really made him a personable character that I can relate to. So often that's lost in theology, and you bring that home so well in the books. Extreme Entrepreneurship, Steve Jobs and Jesus Christ. Consummate Coaches, Bill Belichick and Jesus. Constant Courage, Martin Luther King and Jesus. And Nifty Neighbors, Mr. Rogers and Jesus Christ. Now, all four books are available at Dr. Emmerich's website, which is authortracyemmerich.com. You'll find the books at Amazon, all of the usual places. And check out The Leadership Frontier. Tracy, it's always a pleasure to have you on the program. I really appreciate this. I love what you've done with these four books, and I'm looking forward to checking out everything as it develops on the leadership frontier.
Well, thank you.
It is always a pleasure to have you back, and it's such an enlightening series, all four of the books. And I'd like to thank auctorumhouse.com for arranging today's conversation with Dr. Emmerich, Empowering Authors, Crafting Excellence, your ideal partner in the journey toward literary success, Auctorum House. And our guest has been Tracy Emmerich, E-M-E-R-I-C-K. His website, authortracyemmerich.com. Books are available, of course, wherever books are sold. Links on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And check out his new website, The Leadership Frontier. You're listening to This Week in America, and we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.